Tim Gossage in the chair, 21 past nine. Thanks for your company. Keep your texts and your calls coming. 1300 736 736 or temper text 0433 98 11 16. I've been going through a lot of your thoughts in regards to the tightening of rules, and one man who know more than most, and that is a 500 game umpire and a couple of grand finals. Happily retired. I'm not exactly sure what he's doing right now. Shane McInerney, thanks for joining us on Mornings.
Good morning, Goss. Nice to be with you, and a happy new year to you.
And you too. So what is the football journey you on now, mate? What's your role in life in football?
Sort of just cool the heels for a while, Tim. Admiring the game from the best decision-making position possible, and that's on the couch. we've still got a bit of a hand in things. Look, I'm part of the AFL Health, Mental Health and Wellbeing Committee. That's sort of chaired by Professor Helen Milroy, who's of course on the executive, and that's led by Kate Hall, who's the head of mental health and wellbeing, and her team. And just working with that committee that includes Alicia Eva and Brody Gunnery and Lee Fisher with Michael Mitchell, just lending our thoughts and our experiences to some of the strategies and programs that are being developed in this particular area that actually got together pre-COVID. So the challenges has been a really moving target, I guess, with what the football communities had to deal with in the past 2 years.
Yeah, very much a very important space right now. There's no doubt about that space that you're talking about. Look, I've got you on, Shane, just to talk about the couple of the new interpretations. In fact, they're not in new interpretations. They are tightening of current laws of the game. Now, obviously, time wasting is one, and the other, of course, is prior opportunity and incorrect disposal when tackled, and players sort of trying to bust through and just getting a little longer to linger with the football. Have you read the interpretations, heard from, of course, Brad Scott, and what are your thoughts in regards to what they've displayed there yesterday and have notified the clubs of?
Yeah, well, look, firstly, too, I think it is a good development, because I think it's an area of the game that's probably frustrated fans, supporters, and dare I say commentators, around the amount of time that the player who's had prior opportunity has had to dispose of the ball. And I think it is important just to reinforce that, you know, the wording in the law book has not changed. Mm. So the wording in the law book has been written that way for as long as I can recall, actually, which is probably a bit of a stretch. But, you know, the player that has had prior opportunity when tackled must immediately dispose the ball by handballing or kicking. So that wording has not changed, but I think what we've probably seen over a number of years, so this isn't just something perhaps recent, but perhaps it's got to a point now where it's frustrated too many people, but we've sort of got to the point where, you know, that player who's had for opportunity, so, you know, he may have, you know, evaded some opponents, he may be balanced and steady, when tackled, seek to sort of absorb that tackle or try and work his arms free, and then perhaps assess his options as to where his teammates are to then legally dispose the ball to them. So what the tightening of the rule is, or the tightening of the interpretation rather, is that when that player who's had that prior opportunity is tackled, he must immediately dispose the ball. So I think it's bringing back some more instinctive play for that player that is tackled.
Shane McInerney, our guest, of course, over 500 games, couple of grand finals and the like. Shane, so again, we're just going to use player name examples here, and that's because a lot of people have been texting in saying it's going to change the way Josh Kennedy from Sydney plays, or Joel Selwood or Patrick Cripps. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I have been wrong in the past. I'm just trying to work out the date. But I just wanted to work out, when you get the footy, and they are bulls. They're inside bulls who get the footy and they get through and they get one tackle and they free the arms up and dispose of the footy straight after. Or are you saying the rule is now once they get it and they're tackled, if they don't get rid of it absolutely clean straight away, they are done because they're not being allowed to bust tackles. Is that what I'm saying?
Look, not quite, Tim, because I think it's very important to understand that there's two components to the holding the ball, and they're distinguished by the player that has had prior opportunity, which is what we've discussed a few moments ago, and by the player who has had no prior opportunity. So the interpretation is a lot different for that player that has no prior opportunity in that he can still try and, within a reasonable time, attempt to dispose of the ball. So it's the player that the rule is now focused on that has had prior opportunity, evade, you know, or try to take on tacklers. And perhaps that's the example that we can speak to, where some of those players, you know, they take on a tackle and try to, their first instinct is to try and break through or bust through that tackle. So they will be the players that will find themselves needing to immediately legally dispose of the football. So there might be some scenarios that you point to. I think perhaps also thinking, you know, about perhaps the way that, you know, Dusty plays. You know, it's not saying that he can't do the don't argue, because he is actually evading the tackle at that point. It's when the tackle actually sticks that he must immediately dispose of the ball.
Gotcha. Okay, so a bloke running off half-back, running at somebody, gets tackled and gets held, that's holding the ball, but not the bloke who picks it up and has basically had no time to be free and had prior opportunity.
Correct, and I think that's probably the area that, or the part of the rule that perhaps I think supporters and fans, and dare I say commentators, Tim, probably struggle to get their head around, is that when a player who hasn't had prior opportunity and the ball appears to just fall free, or he hasn't made, that's well within the laws of the game. I think, you know, I guess what has frustrated me from being on the couch and watching some footy and hearing some commentary is, a lot of the commentaries, he hasn't handled that. It has to be holding the ball. Well, not under certain conditions. And I think it's, again, I can't labour the point hard enough that there is a very different decision-making process. That bloke who's run off half-back, tried to bust through a tackle and is unsuccessful, versus that guy who just picks up the footy and is immediately tackled. Because essentially, you know, we're not wanting the laws of the game to take away the spirit of the game, which is encouraging players to go and get the footy.
Right, so here we go. This is on the text machine, and this might sum it up a couple of people. You might be able to give you quick fire answers with these ones. One, you have prior opportunity. If you don't dispose of the ball correctly, free kick. Simple?
Add the word immediate in there. Because,
immediate,
as I said,
okay.
I think what we've seen the last couple of seasons in particular is where we've seen players with the ball have had prior opportunity almost wrestle their tackler to try and break free. Now, that won't be tolerated or won't be allowed under this interpretation going forward into this season.
Okay, so that goes to, this is Tom who's texted in from, not exactly sure where you've texted in from, Tom, but it says, what is the definition of immediately? The time permitted to do this is different, which is where everyone interprets this differently. So I tried to explain this to someone earlier in the show. Someone said, when a bloke does a 360 with the ball or a 720, then that's an obvious holding the ball. But there's nothing in the law that says a bloke can't spin around and do a 360 or a 720 with someone hanging on to it.
I think you will find that will meet the definition of immediately, particularly the 360.
Good.
I wouldn't even bother going with the 720.
No.
720, the bloke might give himself up. But I think, certainly... That example, the 360, that would well and truly meet the definition of immediately.
Rightio. Now, just quick one before we let you go, Shane. A time wasting where the player gives away a free kick, shepherds over the ball, stops the player coming in to grab the ball, or you pick it up and you say to the umpire, whose is it? And you feign interest in regards to where you're throwing the ball. Is that time wasting?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's probably something, again, that's led to a bit of frustration. We probably saw a couple of examples of that towards the back end of last season. Look, I think it's just good that the Footy Ops Department, Brad Scott and his team have come out with making a very clear directive on that because, you know, a 50-metre penalty is a big penalty. And, you know, to bring it in for what some may perceive to be, a slight, you know, infringement, I think can play in the back of umpires' minds. But having that endorsement that, you know, we're not going to tolerate, you know, those little frustrating little grabs and fake, you know, whose ball is it? I think that's important to the, you know, keeping the speed of the game and making sure the game's, you know, managed efficiently.
And the final one for you, Shane. Shane McInerney, former AFL umpire, has been our guest on Mornings. Where ruckmen have to nominate, or the club has to nominate who's going up for the ball. Some umpires do it quicker than others. They walk in, they go bang, bang, and they pinpoint it, and they throw it up, and it gets on with it. Some inexperienced umpires, concerned about who's going to go for the ruck, ask questions. Are you going up? Are you going up? It becomes a conversation, and 3 or 4 seconds of time lapse. Do we need it, and why do we have it? Nominating of ruckmen.
Yeah, look, it was actually brought in to protect that recognised ruckman from the third bloke jumping over the top. So it was actually brought in to, you know, in some ways, you've got two ruckmen. They can battle for the contest themselves without having that third or fourth bloke coming, you know, crashing over the top. So, look, I think it is administered and it is umpired well when you do see blokes just go bang, bang, you and you, up you go and let's get on with it. And I think that's probably where umpires need to, you know, continue working hard at getting that process done as efficiently as possible. I'm not a fan of what it was beforehand because, you know, you then had all sorts of fun and games going on because you then had opponents of the third bloke going up trying to block him. And it was a bit of a circus, to be honest with you, Tim.
100%. And a lot of people on the temper text saying, good luck, umpires. Madness again. And we're going to take 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks to interpret what's going on. Umpires do a great job. You were fantastic over 500 games. Macca, appreciate your time and all the very best in 2022 and stay safe.
Great talking to you, Goss. Thanks very much.